The Holy Gospel according to John, the 15th and 16th chapters.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, the Advocate will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to the one who sent me, yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send the Advocate to you. And having come, the Advocate will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, that Spirit will guide you into all the truth. For the Spirit will not speak out of the Spirit's own authority, but will speak whatever the Spirit hears, and will declare to you the things that are to come. The Spirit will glorify me, taking what is mine and declaring it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that the Spirit will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. May these words of mine please God. I will rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Today, I'm going to tell you two stories that on the surface seem very different, but for me are quite the same. The first happened when I was either a sophomore or a junior in high school. Now, I'm from a very rural place, 1 square mile, no stoplights, high school, 150 kids, and we didn't have a cafeteria to eat in. So I often found myself eating lunch in the classroom of one of my English teachers, Mrs. Smith. And I can't exactly remember the context of what we were talking about that day or why I even said what I said to her. But I remember sitting in the desk right in front of her desk where I often ate lunch, and I said something along the lines of, "I wish I weren't gay because life would be so much easier. Why would anyone choose a life like this that is so hard?" Now, Mrs. Smith did not miss a beat. She quickly replied, "No, you don't. You do not want to be anyone else than who you are." And she was stern, but she was kind. And she left no room for arguing. She made clear to me that I was wrong in my thinking. She was right, and I was wrong. Now, story number two. Sometime last spring, as I was finishing up the first year of my field education placement here at UniLU, I was in the shower thinking about my vocation in the church. Now, I wanted to be a pastor when I was 7 years old, and I was going around telling people and telling my parents that I wanted to be a pastor when I grew up. And very quickly, maybe many of you have heard me say this, I very quickly realized that saying you want to be a pastor when you grow up is kind of a weird thing for a kid to say. It was not a quote-unquote normal career, but even from that very early age, I have been wrestling with a call to ordained ministry. So that day in the shower, as I often asked God through prayer, I asked God a seemingly simple question, but one that had major implications for my life. I prayed, Do I need to be ordained? Now, I did not expect an answer. I don't expect answers when I pray. I think that God's gonna give me the Holy Spirit and encourage me and help me discern and use my own mental faculties. Or I pray when people are sick that God inspire the doctors to help heal them and give the sick a spirit of courage. I don't expect answers when I pray. And I assume that many of you also do not expect answers every time that you pray. But that day, instead of getting a feeling or feeling more hope, I heard a response. I heard one word spoken into my heart and into my mind. I heard a simple yes. So what are we supposed to make of the first story, of what my teacher told me in that classroom? Now, I tell you this story because I think even though it's seemingly simple and something that is quite ordinary, a teacher helping a student understand and accept themselves and love themselves, I think that this story is one where the Spirit was at work. For me, this story in the classroom is Spirit-filled because it's exactly what Jesus said the Spirit will do in today's gospel text. Jesus says, "The Spirit will glorify me, taking what is mine and declaring it to you." So what is it that the Spirit, through Mrs. Smith, took from Jesus and declared to me? It's quite simple and also yet quite radical. What Mrs. Smith declared to me is the beauty of God's creation, the love that comes from God, and Jesus' regard for people, all people, but especially those at the margins of society. Mrs. Smith told me what many queer kids in small towns like mine don't hear, that I am loved and cherished and valued exactly as I am, and I do not need to change for anyone or anything. This was a secular place, a school, and yet still there, I was able to hear God's good news of Christ proclaimed for me and for every other queer person, every other queer kid that will step into that classroom. The gospel is there. The Spirit is there. But what about the second story? Let's hear again the words of today's gospel text. "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, that Spirit will guide you into all the truth. For the Spirit will not speak out of the Spirit's own authority, but will speak whatever the Spirit hears, and will declare to you the things to come." Now, this for the second story, I'll let you make of it what you think. But for me, this was nothing more than the Spirit declaring to me the things to come. This was the Spirit declaring to me that which I have known deep down for a long time, but it's something either I could not hear or chose to ignore. The Spirit had a lot to say to me through that one word, and she chose the right moment to say it to me, when I could finally bear it, setting me down this path toward ordination. When the Spirit said yes, I said yes too. Where might the Spirit be speaking to you in your life? When have you heard the Spirit? Where have you seen it? Siblings in Christ, the Spirit is at work. Sometimes the Spirit reveals things directly to us, when we are in our room and the door is shut and it's just a conversation between us and the Divine Trinity. And sometimes the Spirit is at work through us, giving human voice to divine truth and love. Sometimes the Spirit surrounds us, making us marvel at the love God shows us every day through God's magnificent creation. But I think something is very important in that, especially in the second story, you all had an important role too. You have helped shape me and form me. You have spoken words of spirit to me over these past 2 years. You have provided guidance, sponsored my candidacy, written me letters of recommendation, eaten with me, prayed with me, and most importantly, you have loved me. Are these not the fruits of the Spirit? Are these not the things that show forth because the Spirit is at work within us? The Spirit is alive in this place. In our baptism, the Holy Spirit alights within us. In the water poured on our heads or into which we are submerged, we humans see an outward sign of God's grace. The water that we feel run across our skin is a physical thing that helps us humans perceive that something is happening. But in that moment, when we are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit takes residence within us. It is true that God never abandons us, but through baptism, we are endowed with the Spirit of our Creator. That Spirit is inside of us and will never abandon us. And if you're not baptized or something else, I guess you can only not be baptized. Don't forget that you're also made in the image of God, our Creator. We are all God's children because we are all of God. God chose for us to be like God. We're not the same as God, but something of God is part of us and part of all of creation. This is not happenstance, and it did not have to be this way. But God, out of God's love for us, made us bearers of the same countenance as him. We are all filled with the Spirit and are charged with sharing that Spirit with those around us. We are all made in God's image, shining forth the image of God to everyone that we interact with. Now, I can't give you answers about how all of this works. But what I can tell you is that I've experienced it. I've experienced it alone, I've experienced it at home, and I've experienced it here in this place, in no small part, because of all of you. I can reassure you that I have heard the Spirit speak to me, and I've felt the Spirit stir within me. I can tell you about God's grace, and I can tell you how I've felt all of my sins be forgiven. Not just some of them, but all of them. I can tell you that I've truly felt Jesus' presence in my life, even in the tiniest crumb of bread or the most minuscule drop of wine. And I can tell you that I believe that all three persons of the Trinity will show up in your life too. I trust that the God of the universe does not limit God's self to the right kind of person in the right kind of place who believes in the right kind of way. If I've learned anything during my time in seminary, it's that we should always look for God in the place that we least expect. We need to listen for God in the times that we least expect to hear God. Look for the paradoxes. Look for the things that don't make sense. Pray and listen, because you might end up hearing something or seeing something or feeling something when you least expect it. These might not be the answers that you would like, and sometimes these aren't the answers that I like either. They're not concrete. If anything, the work of the Spirit is anything but concrete. But I have faith. I have faith in love. I have faith in God. I have faith in you and me, and that we can and will speak the good news of Jesus Christ to each other in word and deed. I have faith that next year, some other student will be able to walk through that front door of this church and hear the same good news, the same message of the Spirit, given to them as was given to me. So, my dear siblings in Christ, I am only with you a little while longer. But I'll be back. And I will leave this place, and you all will leave this place. And together we will go forth rejoicing in the power of the Spirit. Our work will not end here. God's Spirit is with us. And for that, thanks be to God. Amen.